and welcome to season two of the Working While Homeschooling podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie. I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about homeschool methods. So if you're new to homeschooling or new to working while homeschooling, and you're wondering what in the world everyone's talking about when they're talking about various homeschool methods, well, this podcast is for you. So I'm going to be posting in the show notes various links to some articles about which model is right for you, which homeschool method is right for you, which homeschool style is right for you. And so I wanted to share these articles with you, but I also wanted to kind of give you my own personal take. Again, this is my own personal opinion. This is not set in stone. Please don't, you know, call me and yell at me because I said something you didn't like. Again, it's my own personal experience, my own personal opinion. So let's talk about some of the different styles of homeschooling. Well, the first one comes under public school at home. So if anyone is using K-2 or some of these curriculums that are quote unquote free that you're getting from your state school system, legally, this is actually not homeschooling. This is considered public school at home. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with these programs. If it works for you and your family, that is great. But legally, you're considered a public school student, so you still have to go under the public school rules and laws. That might be how long you have, you're sitting in front of a computer. It might be attendance. It might be, you know, various things. I have not done them, so I can't really tell you. But I do know a lot of people will come from the public school world and start off with something like K-2 or one of these types of programs because A, it's free, and B, it's what they know. And so it's easier for them and maybe more comfortable for them to start off this way. Now, I will say for anyone who stays with this for an extended period of time, I do believe once you've done this for a while, there is a pretty decent exodus out of these programs because they realize, A, I'm going to go back to, you know, public school system, back in person. Okay, that's one option. If you're only, let's say, doing school at home for a very specific time period or very specific reason, and you know you have to go back into the public school system, for some that's easier, okay? Especially when you get to the high school years. I know when I lived in Virginia, some homeschool students who were trying to go from homeschool back into public school from 9th to 12th grade, oftentimes they had some issues with their school system accepting their work in a particular study of field. So they might have to quote unquote repeat a course. Now, I'm hearing all of that third and fourth hand. I have no personal experience with that. So I just want to let you know, sometimes in high school, if you have to go back into public school, there are issues, okay? So some people know I'm going to have, you know, because of illness or whatever, I'm going to go back into public school, so they elect to stay with the same program. That's fine. But there's a second type of exodus from this public school at home method. It's those people who realize this is not all it's cracked up to be. And frankly, homeschooling is not the big deal that, you know, they were afraid of to begin with. And so they leave the public school at home method and go into, let's say, quote unquote, real homeschool, okay? There's nothing inherently wrong with this, but I do want you guys to know that legally you're not considered a homeschooler. If, for example, you're going under HSLDA and you want their support, or if you're having legal issues or whatever, you're not going to get that from HSLDA because legally you're not considered a homeschooler. Nothing else. Okay. So I just want to kind of clarify that for you guys. Now, beyond that, there is online classes and online programs that could be fall under all of these various methods. Online school doesn't necessarily mean it's its own thing. It could be, but it could fall under all of these other various methods as well. So you can take a class online. And some people have started to lump technological school, as I like to call it, or online school or computer-based school adds its own style. I don't necessarily agree or disagree with that. I think technology has a wonderful purpose and a place in all of these other various methods. Now let's go over some of the big names you're going to hear when you talk about homeschooling. I would say the biggest ones are going to be unschooling, Charlotte Mason, and classical. At least in my community, in my kind of circles, those are kind of like the three big three, not to say that there aren't others. So let's start with classical. Well, if you've ever heard of Classical Conversations, which is a co-op that falls under classical, and that's pretty much what everyone thinks of when they think of classical education or a classical homeschool method. Classical basically falls under three things. They break everything down into basically a three-year program or three different steps of education. Grammar, logic, and rhetoric, that's basically how they break it down. Now, I'm just going to tell you that my stereotypical assumption of what classical education is, especially Classical Conversations, it is a co-op method. Basically, you join a co-op. This very particular co-op, they do something, they do it a very particular way. And the good thing about it is if you, let's say you move often, like I do, if you're military or another kind of family where you just move often, you could go into any Classical Conversation co-op and you will be doing the exact same thing. So let's say you move in between school years, you can move from one Classical Conversation co-op and to another Classical Conversation co-op, and you're not going to have any discrepancies or breaks. That's the positive. Now, the other thing with the Classical Conversation co-op is that basically they lay out your education system for you. So everyone in the co-op uses this, is learning the same thing at the same time. They kind of make the choices for you. Okay. I know when I first started homeschooling and I've talked to other homeschoolers, they jump in this because they like that. They like the fact that they're not being thrown to the wolves. To a certain extent. So if someone else is making the decisions for their family and everyone in the co-op is doing the same thing. So you do get that kind of, we're all in this together. We're all kind of learning the same things together kind of thing. That is a positive for some. Now for some, that's a negative. Now I will tell you my impression. And again, please don't get offended with me if you're really into Classical Conversations, okay? My impression of Classical Conversation co-ops is they're a little clicky because once you've bought into that method, everything revolves around that. And you're either really, 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 really drinking the Kool-Aid in Classical Conversations co-ops or you're not. There's no halfway in and halfway out. Now, I've had homeschool friends disagree with me and they tell me that's not true. But from the outside completely, and again, I've never done it, from the outside, that's kind of what it looks like. Now, once you're in it, there are people who are like guzzling the Kool-Aid, and there are some people who are just sipping the Kool-Aid. So don't yell at me, but I'm just telling you what an outside person might see of that. Another, again, really bad stereotype of Classical Conversations for me, from an outside person, is it looks really darn intense. Okay, it does look, especially the older you get, the work is pretty freaking intense. Let me tell you, that's been my impression. Some of the parenting, you know, the education, like some of the work for the parent, the homeschool parent is done for you because they're choosing the methods. But if you're going to do this the way they want you to, you know, guzzling the Kool-Aid, there's a little bit of having to keep up with everyone else and not falling behind. And again, that's my outside impression. I know when I first started homeschooling, I was very intimidated by the concept of Classical Conversation and the way that it was done in my small hometown. And so I ran for the hills. That's right or wrong. And that's just my outside, you know, impressions of it. But they've kind of seemed to bore out. So it kind of just depends on what you prefer. There's a lot of memorization, a lot of memorization. And they have really great ways in these Classical Conversations to do that. Now, even in just traditional classical education, there is this concept of a lot of memorization, a lot of rhetoric, quote unquote, rote memory type thing, a lot of learning Latin. Okay, so if that sounds very important to you, you really do want to look into classical education-based approaches. Classical Conversations isn't the only way to do that. It's just the most loud and the most popular. All right, second biggest type is going to be the Charlotte Mason approach. Okay, Charlotte Mason was one of those, let's say, education entrepreneurs. came with her own schooling style back in the utopian society part of the, you know, time period. This is the way to really help children learn the best. It's, you know, Charlotte Mason was a contemporary of the gal who came up with Montessori, and there's several other of those that were just all in that same time period from various different countries. Charlotte Mason basically is a focus on what they call living books over textbooks. That means basically using a school book, a school textbook, like, you know, you might be used to in a public school, is the anti-way to go. They believe in learning from living books. So if you're going to study a historical time period, you read books based in that historical time period. That you're going, you know, books that are, let's say, historically accurate based in that historical time period. And you're going to get more of a living feel of what it was like to be in that time period and what it was really like to deal with whatever that historical situation was based on the fictionalized version, or maybe even an autographical version of those books. They feel that you're going to learn and understand the world around you better learning that way. It also focuses on establishing positive habits. It focuses on educating out in nature. There is a strong component of like nature-based learning, or having your child outdoors as much as physically possible. Shorter lessons, so your kid is not expected to sit still and memorize for an hour every day, but shorter age-appropriate lessons. Kind of age appropriate attention spans. And there's a lot of narration for those that are Christian or religious background. There's a lot of dictation and, let's say, scripture based when you go to Charlotte Mason-esque curriculum programs. My Father's World is one very popular and well-known Charlotte Mason-esque curriculum program that's half Charlotte Mason, and they say they, you know, they have a classical bent. I think it's more they followed the classical timeline. So they pull the things they like from the classical world, and the classical education world, but they really are a lot more Charlotte Mason-esque than classical. But there's a ton of Charlotte Mason education-based programs out there. Now, I am going to give you the legal caveat here. I started off in a Charlotte Mason world, and I'm going to give you guys one of these links. That's one of those online questionnaires. What type of homeschool method are you? And it kind of asks you all these questions, and it tells you which method you are. I came out like 150% Charlotte Mason, and I do agree with that. I think that's my personal philosophy and personal style with education. We have like the attention spans of gnats in my family, so that has worked really well for us. So if you have ADHD, you know, short attention spans in your family, if your child is hyperphysically active, this frankly might be a really good fit for you. And granted, not everyone is going to be 100% of one of these and 100% of another, okay? Just like My Father's World, which again is what I started off with. Okay, it's not what we do now, but it is what I started off with. Just like with My Father's World, it is like, you know, they take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that's perfectly okay. So it's a very relaxed approach, in my personal opinion, while also maybe following a timeline or a specific plan or course of you're going to teach this topic this year. And so there are certain things that I did not do when I was doing Charlotte Mason because I really just didn't understand the point of the narration. I have since been educated to differently, but my kids are older and don't do that anymore. So there are a lot of positives of Charlotte Mason. One of the negatives is the concern of quote unquote being behind. So that may or may not play out for you guys. If that doesn't matter to you, if you want to educate your child more slowly or more of a relaxed approach, then Charlotte Mason might be a good fit for you. The other big one that I've been hearing a lot recently is unschooling. And a lot of my working while homeschooling parents really kind of classifies themselves under this unschooling. You might have also heard this as being child-led or delight-led. Now, I will tell you, I love the concept of delight-led. So if your kid is really interested in, I don't know, horses, for example, go for it, go after it. But the idea is that it's 100 If you're going to, let's say if you were a pure unschooler, and again, every single family seems to define this a little bit differently. There are no books. There's no curriculum per se. There is no, you know, using workbooks or school books. It's all just building off the child's natural curiosity, knowing, and then pulling in any kind of educational kind of quote unquote concepts that you can within that natural curiosity. So for example, and if forgive me, because I am not an unschooler and I'm not really good at this unschooling stuff. So this is my impression. Let's say again, your kid is really interested in horses. Well, you're going to read books about horses. You might watch some videos about horses. You might go out and actually take horseback riding lessons and go to a farm and learn how to care for horses and interview people who own horses if you don't yourself. Maybe you count horses. Maybe you learn more about, if your child is older, maybe you go into a little bit more of the medical issues of horses, the anatomy of horses. So you see how you can really pull in a lot of scientific education, but under their delight methods, under what they're personally interested in. The parent is just the facilitator for helping the child wanting to learn whatever it is they want to learn. Those are what I would call the super big three. Now, there are some that may fall under these or could be used underneath these. One of them is unit studies. And so that's basically you focus on a subject and then you might learn everything you could possibly ever learn about that subject. So if you're studying the medieval time period because your kid is really interested in, let's say, knights, and you'll take under literature, you would be reading King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And maybe under art, you would be learning about castles or medieval art. Maybe you would pull up some videos or anything on that topic. This could also come under lap books. Okay, so lap books are a great way to maybe record the information you're learning through a unit study. So this is maybe more about one specific theme or topic. I did unit studies for at least 1 to 2 years in our schools when I was basically transitioning from one style to another. I love the concept of unit studies. I will say from my own personal experience, it tends to be a little bit parent work heavy because you're having to kind of research it and kind of pull everything together. Maybe your math is if you're talking about the medieval time period, maybe you're learning about, all of the different numerical stuff that's coming in during that medieval time period from the Arabic world. And you go into this, so there's a lot of things you kind of have to pull together unless you're able to find one of those unit studies online and you can just kind of purchase the unit study and they tell you what to do. I love the concept of unit studies, but as a working while homeschooling parent, it was very intensive for me. And it was a little bit stressful, not going to lie, until I could find some online resources that I could just purchase and just do. I found one resource that I really like, which is called Homeschool in the Woods. And that's literally the website. Just, Google it, homeschoolinthewoods.com. I am no affiliate of them. I just like them. And they are really great in having a lot of resources that are unit-based. And they literally tell you, go look for these kind of books at the library. Go watch these kinds of movies. Here is your lap book information. Some of this is time period-based. Sometimes this is one topic-based. I will say during the last election period, we did their election series and I loved it. We have also used a lot of their historical time period stuff until my kids told me they were sick of it. I loved it. I would have stayed with it if I could have made my kids stay with it, to be honest. And I do believe that lap books and unit studies can be used very well under the concepts of unschooling. Okay, that delight-led learning of the child. Also under Charlotte Mason and My Father's World kind of style. You can even use this under classical-based style because if you follow the historical time periods of whatever you're learning, it's a great resource. Again, I use the concept of delight-led learning and I've used the concept of unit studies, maybe on what's happening in your world today, topics that you're dealing with, that your kids are interested in. For example, the election, an election unit or a government unit, while elections and government are very popular. So all of this can be used together and it could be a mishmash. Those are some of the big approaches. You'll find other ones talked about, whether it's Waldorf or Montessori. Those are not as well known, but they are out there. Relaxed kind of falls under and around some of these other concepts. So these are the biggest styles of homeschooling. And in the show notes, I'm going to share a couple different articles that discuss this more. And I'm also going to share with you a link to a online quiz that's basically what homeschool method are you? And I think it's really important as a homeschooling parent that you think about, okay, which one is going to fit your own child and your own child's learning style? That's really what all these things are talking about. But you also have to think about what's going to fit you and your parenting style, your teaching style to a certain extent, but also your own work life, homeschool life situation. For the working while homeschooling parent, I think all of these are great. And I've talked to a lot of working homeschooling parents and they've made every single one of these styles work for their family. But I would encourage you as a working homeschooling parent to avoid anything that's going to be hyper parent intensive. Okay. Look for ways to make it easier on you or it'll be a little bit less parent intensive because that's just adding a lot of stress to a working parent, homeschooling parent's life. All right. So as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me. So thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for the links to my site, workingwhilehomeschooling.com, and all of the resources we've discussed in today's podcast, plus all of the great ways you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listener supporters. Enjoy today's podcast. I would appreciate it if you could support me with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I also appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to my podcast. Thank you to all of you who have been sharing this with your homeschooling friends. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest on our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingwhilehomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening today, and make sure you join us in our Facebook group for a continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.